Hey everybody, before we go into today's podcast, I wanted to say that a new book is coming, the follow-up to Jab, 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 Right Hook, originally called Jab, 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 Left Hook, but I finally captured what I've been doing for the last 20 years as an entrepreneur, as a creator and influencer, as an operator of a marketing company that works with Fortune 5,000, 500 companies, and really the punchline of what I'm seeing in society, which is day trading attention, how to actually build brand and sales in the new social media world. I'm really proud of this book. When I read it, and some of you follow my social enough to see the clips, when I read it in studio, it got so deep. It goes so detailed. It goes macro and micro, as I like to roll. And so if you've not picked up a copy yet, go to GaryVee.com/DTA, which stands for Day Trading Attention. That's GaryVee.com. Yes, GaryVee.com/DTA for Day Trading Attention. I have a feeling that this book, much like Jab, 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 Right Hook, literally got an email yesterday about Jab, Jab, Right Hook. They just read it. It's 10 years ago. The updated version of the marketing manual for your marketing team. Definitely if you have a social media person that runs your stuff, you need to get a book for them. And definitely the marketers in Fortune 500 for your staff. And the entrepreneurs and creators and influencers who are trying to build something for themselves. So proud of it. Hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed putting it together. The manual that we are going to give to everybody when they join VaynerMedia to read. And hopefully the manual to the modern marketing world. And especially social media first world. Day trading attention out this May 2024. Pre-order your copy now. Hey everybody, it's Gary Vaynerchuk. Marketing for the Now. Special interview with one of the great marketers that I've come across in my career. I'm gonna let him introduce himself and talk about what we're seeing at Cannes, talk about Marketer for the Year and all those kind of things. Marcel, how are you, my friend?
Hello, Gary. Thanks for the introduction. It's a big pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you, my friend. So why don't you tell everybody what your first hot takes? We're a couple days into Cannes. This is the big week for the marketing industry. Any observations, anything that excites you, any curiosities? Give me the bullet points of what you've taken out of the first 48 hours.
Maybe three key points. First one is the obvious point, like the energy of the people, because we're all back together in person. It's obvious, but you feel it. Like everything's crowded. People are like happy. Yeah, people are happy. Yeah. To be here in person.
Even with a looming global recession, even with all the challenges, you know, people are just, after 2 years of this not happening, you feel like 3 years of happiness is exploding into one.
Exactly, exactly. And you see also, the level of investments in the activations, like the companies are here and all that. So I think it really caused attention. Second thing that caught my attention was the amount of brands that are here trying to have sort of curated programs. It seems like it's tough to navigate through times like this for brands because, everybody's looking for that balance between what's going on in society and what the brands stand for so that they can find that bright spot in the middle. So everybody's trying to find that balance. And can even create a brand village where they have a lot of clients looking for curated programs here all at once in the same place. So that caught my attention as well. I think it's the first time it happens. And it tells me that brands are trying to find their way.
Yes.
The third thing is the amount of, now talking about creativity, yes. That after spending the whole weekend judging and all that, the amount of cases that are really connected to social or environmental causes. Yes. It seems like there's a consensus or a belief nowadays that either the case studies are connected with the cause or they don't have enough value. And this is, I think, is tricky.
Very.
Because for me, either you do this right with authenticity and not just talking about an issue but doing something about it, or forget about it and just do your thing. And some brands are coming across as inauthentic, as forced, as even opportunistic, because they're doing this as an obligation, not as something authentic.
I think this last point is very important for everybody who's listening, because I know the audience here is a mix of marketers and business people, but also entrepreneurs and influencers and creators. The point that I think Marcel's making is oftentimes big corporations struggle, not because it's their per se fault, but because, you know, smaller businesses, creators, it's easier to be authentic to a cause because it's you, the human being. You care about, you know, the rainforest, you care about the ocean, you care about, you know, equal rights here. It's just easy, you're a human being, you care about things. For big companies, they have many individuals within it that care about it, rightfully so. The problem is they're being held accountable to different things. You know, and what I mean by that is when you're being held accountable as a public company to, you know, running a healthy business, that's one part. And then number two, to your point, it's hard for brands to be authentic in some of these causes because they're doing so many other things. It's kind of like celebrities who talk about the environment, but then fly private to the conference to talk about the environment. It's exactly. It's incredibly easy for a brand to be in a place of hypocrisy, not even from a place of bad intent, but when you are a global organization that's been around for 100 years, you're doing a lot of things in your supply chain and your marketing, and it's just incredibly challenging. So that brings up an interesting point. Marketing, you know this, we've known each other a long time. I have continuously beat the drum in this industry around actual consumption and relevance because I've always challenged the notion of the actual consumption of the reach that the biggest brands in the world go for, and have always believed in creative at scale, and that quality comes from actual contextual relevance to its distribution, not from production value made from television. What are you sensing on the creative conversation? For example, TikTok has now become the app that is most consumed in the world, yet none of the work here reflects anything about TikTok. Do you feel like, where are we in the transition of being a television-centric, a social-centric, forget about anything other than that, distribution, streaming is eating up all consumption of television, yet we continue to be in a very interesting place in the industry where we're trying to find our way. What do you, observation of short form, long form production, like that whole game?
For me, the first key element to talk about based on what you're saying is one word that you just said, it is irrelevance. I think this is the first very important notion that separates bad work from good work. There's a lot of work out there still focused on giving brands pure visibility. So it's all about making sure that they're visible. They can be very visible. They can be visible with a lot of reach.
Yes.
But it's just visibility. So it doesn't really make a difference. I don't think it really connects with people. Relevance is the way to go. So for me, the dream scenario is when you connect reach with relevance.
Of course.
And this is when you really make a difference.
How do you win on relevance when there's only one piece of content as the item that's supposed to do that?
I think, if that one piece of content connects well with something that the consumers are going through, or a clear consumer need, or a clear opportunity for entertainment that is meaningful for that consumer group. I'm thinking about TikTok now.
Yeah.
Right? That makes sense given what's going on for that brand. We shouldn't need to have 5-10 different pieces of content to be relevant. I think if you do one right, it should be enough. But I think to your point as well, the industry is still getting used to different channels.
Yeah.
So there's a lot still to evolve.
A lot of people, you know this about me. I live in a lot of different worlds.
Yes.
So
yes, you do.
Which is why I think I bring up different conversations in our world together. Mm-hmm. My number one question for my tech world, from my creative NFT world, from all the worlds, startup, SMB, entrepreneurship, the number one question when they ask me about it, this industry, is why are they struggling to give up television creative? What's your take on that? What do you think holds that medium and that creative product so near and dear to 98% of the people outside this boat? In a world where everybody else I know on earth, Wall Street, like everybody else, every other industry I'm in is always curious, Gary, why are they holding on to that so much when for us as human beings outside of it, it's clear that that is an overpriced medium on production and distribution against business results?
I think it's two things, Gary. It's twofold. First is inertia. Simply put, yeah. I think it is just yeah. inertia, because it's all about decades
yeah.
of the same process. Yeah. So it is what it is, yeah, and people just go.
I think that's human behavior. I think
so. There's
right.
a lot of inertia.
Yeah, it's a great word.
And second is learning curve. There's a lot still yeah. for the industry to evolve in the learning curve about the new mediums, like even gaming. Yeah. Let's not go too far.
Yeah.
But gaming is invading all the categories. I'm yes. pretty sure, or I guess, next year, gaming will become a category on its own.
Yeah.
But this is a conversation that is still happening right yeah. now. So, yes, I think there is still a learning curve for people and key people in this industry to really understand.
Yeah.
Like the conversations we've been having in the jury room about NFTs is how yeah. to use NFTs, creative uses of NFTs. But some people, some of us, don't really understand how to live inside that world.
You know what's funny about that? Because the NFT convo for the last 2 years, that I'm empathetic to. Even in the most deep worlds that I'm in, it's still a learn. Web3 is real learning. I think the interesting part is YouTube, for example. I mean, what a profoundly large platform. And, you know, watching the long form creative that's working there, you would think, for me, I would think the people that are here that are so holding up television, a lot of them are grounded in the fact that they grew up wanting to be in Hollywood and ended up in advertising. YouTube is actually a more interesting platform to produce 3, 4, 5 minute films than a 30 second spot, yet the distribution of YouTube isn't fancy enough compared to television in the inertia minds. And so, to your point, NFTs I'm empathetic to, but the last 15 years of social and YouTube and things of that nature, I would argue is so slow in consumption in this world. And I think inertia is a really profound insight, a really profound insight.
Yeah, I remember what we did together, by the way, a couple of years ago with Dwayne Wade. It was all about YouTube, you know,
100%.
But again, I go back to the point on relevance.
100%.
That piece of content was so relevant
Correct.
That it became huge. The reach was enormous
Correct.
Because it was relevant.
I couldn't agree more.
This is what really drives reach when the content is
I know good. You need to run. Any last thoughts that we didn't get to touch on? Anything you want to speak to?
No, I just think it's a new beginning for all of us. I really believe and I hope that this moment, that this year is a new beginning for all of us. I hope that we'll finally be able to get out of this shitty situation Ugh. We've all been through for so long, although we're in Europe, we still have a war to deal with, right? But I really hope it's a new beginning, and I'm excited, although there's a lot still to be done, a lot still to evolve, as you just said, I'm excited because I think people are more open to change. After everything we've been through, I think people are more into the mode of, I need to make it count.
Yeah.
I don't want to just go back to normal. Yeah. I want to get better. So I think people are more open to learning, to doing things differently now than they used to be before. That makes me excited.
Thank you, Marcel.
And it's been great to see you, to see your dad.
Thank you.
Yesterday
Thank
made
you.
Me very emotional.
Thank
so
you.
Congrats for bringing family along.
Thank you, brother.